Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
We can no longer guarantee shelter placement for families who are sent here.
That seismic announcement from Governor Maura Healey. With more migrant families arriving every day and no federal help, the governor is drawing a line in the sand. Joining us now, WBUR senior health and science reporter Gabriella Emanuel, who has been following this story. Gabriella, welcome back.
Hi, good to be here.
So listen, that's it from a press conference yesterday. Tell us specifically what Healey announced and why.
So she said the family shelter system is on the verge of hitting capacity. As of this morning, there are 7,002 families in the system. That's about 23,000 parents and children in more than 90 cities and towns around the state. This shelter population is more than double what it was last year at this time. So this is big. It's a record. In August, the state put $45 million a month toward the situation and is probably higher now. So the situation is kind of hitting, approaching its limit. There are a couple factors driving this. One is the ongoing housing crisis in the state, but Healey really laid the blame kind of on newly arrived migrant families coming to Massachusetts from places like Haiti. And she said the system just can't handle it anymore. Here she is at the press conference yesterday.
Service providers or funds to safely expand beyond 7,500 families. We expect to hit that limit at the end of the month. From that point on, we will no longer be able to guarantee shelter placement for new families entering the system.
So she said the state will create a wait list, essentially. And here she is explaining how it will work.
Families with high needs, including health and safety risks, will be prioritized for shelter placement. But especially with winter approaching, we need everyone to understand that we are entering a new phase of this challenge.
Some historical context here. Waitlists have been threatened before, but it's never actually come to pass. It's never happened. So this would be a significant break.
So, Gabriella, in a moment like this, it feels like the governor is talking to lots of different groups of people. Who is she sending a message to? And to what extent is this actually a message to the Biden administration, to the federal government versus here in the state?
Yes, a lot of this is directly for the federal government. She has said in no uncertain terms, this is a federal problem in need of a federal solution. So what she would like to see is funding, expedited work permits so that migrants can get jobs and then exit shelter. It was also clear yesterday that she's speaking to anyone who's sending migrants here. Many are coming after long journeys through South America. They're also coming from in the U.S., from Texas, from Florida, some from New York. Some are being sent by aid groups. Others are seeing social media posts about Massachusetts kind of offering better things than where they are. She wants to be very clear to whoever is sending migrants here that the state can no longer support homeless families.
So last question to you, Gabriella, and then I'm going to add a second voice. The next homeless family period after this goes into effect, what does it mean?
Yeah. So I spoke to Liz Alfred of Greater Boston Legal Services about this, and she says we know what will happen because we can look at all the families that are currently deemed ineligible. So there are strict eligibility requirements right now. Not everyone gets a place. And she says this is what happens to them.
They stay in places that are unheated, or they stay in cars, or they stay outside, or they stay in abusive situations. I think we will see more families having to stay in places that are not safe for them.
I have heard some homeless advocates say they'd like to see the state set up large temporary congregate facilities like you might see after a hurricane or another natural disaster so that families can have a roof over their head while they wait for a spot in the shelter system.
All right, Gabriella Emanuel, stay with us. I'm going to add a second voice here. Jeffrey Thielman is president of the International Institute of New England, a nonprofit that supports migrants and refugees. Jeff, you've been on the show a number of times. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, did you know this announcement was coming? Did it catch you by surprise, or did you know?
I got a phone call about an hour before the governor went on the air to tell us that she was going to make the announcement and to be ready for it.
And what was your reaction?
My initial reaction was, okay, thank you for the heads up in terms of the press conference. It would have been great if we'd been involved in some of the discussions before the announcement was made, a little bit more involved. And one of the things I've said to different people within the administration is that resettlement agencies like ours that have expertise in placing people in communities and helping them find jobs and integrate, we would like to be part of the conversation before a policy is initiated.
So is it your understanding, and then Gabriella, let's both listen to this answer because then I'm going to turn back to you. Is it your understanding, Jeff, that in some way the Healey administration will prioritize documented legal U.S. Massachusetts residents over undocumented migrants? Well, actually, undocumented is not correct. People don't qualify under the Right to Shelter Act if they're undocumented, but migrants in the triage system after November 1st.
We're worried about that, but we've never heard anyone officially say that. We've never heard anyone say we're going to prioritize people who were born in the U.S. or who are citizens of the U.S. And deprioritize migrants. We've never heard that issued.
And Gabriella, nothing in the press conference yesterday to clarify that either way?
Yes, Healey was asked about that, and she said the eligibility requirements are not changing and that she's committed to the right to shelter law as it stands.
And Jeff, remind us, I feel like no matter how many times we lay it out, it's good to lay it out again because Massachusetts is unique in this 1983 right to shelter law. Remind us what it is.
So the law says that if you have children, if you're a couple with children or a single person with children, you can't find a place to stay, the state will help you find emergency shelter and help you get on your feet. And so that's the law, and that's led to 23,000-24,000 people, just as Gabrielle said, that are in shelters right now.
And Gabriella, we've spoken with you a number of times about this, and I was just, yesterday we had WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker on. We were talking about another dimension of this, which has been response by hate groups, which have been escalating. One hate group actually protesting at Governor Healey's house herself over the weekend. And I was reminded of you talking about the fact that since the summer, we have been breaking records week over week. Now that we are at this point, what is the legal response here? I mean, this is a law. This is a right to shelter law. What are we hearing from a legal standpoint?
So Healey was clear that she believes she's still complying with the law. I spoke to some homeless advocates who say they are consulting with lawyers to see if there does need to be a legal challenge here. Basically, there are timelines laid out in the law and whether a wait list would still meet with those legal requirements.
All right. So we are here with Gabriella Emanuel, WBUR senior health and science reporter, and Jeff Thielman, who is the president of the International Institute of New England. We're here today because yesterday, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey declared that as of November 1st, and really that trigger is 7,500 families reaching capacity in the state on the right to shelter law, that the state is not going to guarantee everybody housing under that right to shelter law after that point. Jeff, first, is it likely that we will see a coalition of nonprofit organizations pursue legal action?
It's possible. I mean, we would need a plaintiff. We would need to have a situation in which someone was denied housing, and then we would see. But I'm hoping we don't get to that point. And I think it's important to step back and say that the governor and her staff have done a heroic job of resettling and placing 23,000-24,000 people in shelters. That's a great thing our Commonwealth has done. No other state has done this. 90 different communities have stepped up. Volunteers in those communities have stepped up. Local groups have stepped up. So we've done a very good job, and we should kind of step back and praise ourselves first. If we get to a situation where a family is denied entry in a shelter and they qualify under the law, I suspect that there will be a lawsuit, yes.
When you say, Jeff, that no other state has done this, right, the 23,000 individuals, what about actually a Florida or a Texas where you have people coming over the border and there's constant response? I am literally just asking, are we sure there's no other state that's done the level of housing and resettlement that we've done here in the
country? I'm not 100% sure, but we're the only ones with the right to shelter law. We're the only state with the right to shelter law.
Gabriella, jump in here.
Yeah. So I think what's unique is that Massachusetts has a state-funded family shelter system, and no other state has something quite like us. There is one state where there's kind of a cap. You can stay for, a couple weeks. But the average length of stay in our family shelter system is over a year. And partly because we have this state-funded family shelter system, the nonprofit family shelter system has not been built up in our state. These families, once we hit that threshold, don't actually have a whole network of nonprofits to turn to because for 40 years, we've relied on the state's system here.
Lots of nodding from you on that, Jeff.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. I mean, when the shelter crisis started, a lot of the Department of Housing and Livable Communities reached out to all the resettlement agencies and asked if we would become shelter providers. And, you know, that's a new field for us. Larger groups like Catholic Charities, Accenture Care Alliance, they have housing programs already. They have policies and procedures and manuals in place to guide them in that work. We do not. And so we couldn't really sign up for that level of commitment.
All right. So Gabriella has just pointed out we're unique in this state-funded space. This is where I want to stay, and I want to ask a couple of follow-up questions.
Sure.
And I'll come to you first. You heard Gabriella Emanuel say, Jeff, that part of what has been happening is that people have been sent from other states. This right to shelter law, do we have reason to believe that it is part of the reason that migrants have been sent from other states to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, or has that been exclusively a political move by, let's say, a Greg Abbott from Texas?
I see this totally as a political move. I do not, when I meet families in our shelters, the International Institute of New England is supporting 8 different hotels right now, Watertown, Bedford, Billerica, Woburn, Arlington, Malden, there may be another town I forgot. And when I visit all those shelters and I see families in those shelters, they did not come here to stay in a hotel. They came here to work, to make some money, to make a better life for their families, and to contribute. That's why they're here. So they didn't get excited about our right to shelter law. I am not seeing that.
All right. And now back to this federal government piece, Gabriella Emanuel. Here are some strong, succinct words from Healy yesterday directed toward the Biden administration.
We need urgent support from the federal government, which bears ultimate responsibility for this situation.
You've already said that the press conference yesterday was in part talking to the state, but in part talking to the Biden administration. And, there was a meeting with representatives of the Department of Homeland Security here last week. Governor Healy has said here on our air that one of the biggest pain points, if not the biggest pain point, is work authorization. We'll talk more about money in a minute, too. But there is a piece here that where the governor is communicating this shouldn't be a state-funded set of responses, Gabriella.
Yes, that's right. She is very clear that this is a federal problem. Some folks I've spoken to on the ground push back and say, actually, there are decades of housing policy that have created an affordable housing crisis here. So it's not there's not consensus on it. But the governor is very clear that she thinks this is a federal problem that demands a federal solution. And as you said, there were folks from the Department of Homeland Security touring Massachusetts, and we still have yet to have a public kind of statement about what came from that visit.
So I can comment on a couple of things. You know, I agree with the governor. We need more federal money, no doubt about it. But I actually think it's a combination. The way resettlement actually works, and organizations like ours, we are professionals at resettling refugees. We resettled in this state about 2,000 Afghan humanitarian parolees, all the resettlement agencies did, all 8 of us, over a 4.5-5 month period. Most of them, not all of them, were housed in apartments that we found. It was a combination of federal money, state money, which subsidized the housing, and fundraising from organizations like ours and community volunteers. So I think the solution, certainly, I applaud the governor, support the governor, want her to get more federal money, no doubt about it. But it's actually going to take a commitment of both federal, state, and philanthropic dollars to get this done.
So Jeff Thielman of International Institute of New England, you were at the meeting with the Department of Homeland Security representatives last week.
Right.
What was the message you carried into the meeting?
So the message that I carried into the meeting in particular was the resettlement agencies in the state of Massachusetts have not received notification yet of how much funding we're getting from the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is housed in the Department of Health and Human Services. And so I asked the Department of Health and the Department of Homeland officials Are you talking to each other? Are you making sure that money comes to us? And they said they were. So they said it has risen to the level of the White House, and resettlement dollars should come to us. And that's important because our organization resettled about 7,000 or 6,000 Haitians last year. And they're eligible for services from the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement, which the governor is advocating for, and they need to send that money to us. So that was our ask. Now, we also talked about expediting employer authorization documents, and we talked in general with the Department of Homeland Security officials about more money to the state to help with the global problem.
Did you leave with any sense that work and authorization will happen faster as a result of the meetings or other pressure from states and cities?
They gave some specifics about how they've accelerated the program, and it's taking a shorter amount of time now to get work authorization documents. So I felt good that they're on the problem and they're aware of it.
Gabrielle Emmanuel, in the meantime, Maura Healey has a request into the state legislature for $250 million that she says she needs now. That hasn't come yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. And the money that's already been allocated is a record amount. We've never seen this amount of money towards the family shelter system, but they're burning through it very fast and expect to run out soon. So I think there's an important question about what happens when those funds do run out.
So Jeff Thielman, here's what Massachusetts House Speaker Ron Mariano said on WCVB over the weekend regarding that request.
It's not going to solve our problem. It may not even get us to the end of this month.
So then on Monday, he says to the Massachusetts Political Playbook, quote, "We don't have the money to fund this forever, so we need help," end quote. Is there any thought that he's holding back the money to underscore to the federal government, we can't keep doing? I mean, is there a coordination here to not spend more state money to put pressure on the federal government?
I don't know if there's a coordination. I do know that a comprehensive solution is what is required. And that means finding people housing, that means helping them to find jobs, and that means helping them to learn English. So, I mean, I'll give you just giving a little example here. One of the hotels, I got a report from our team on intakes done. And I don't remember all the numbers, but about 11 or 12 people have employer authorization documents. So I said, "What's the story about getting them jobs?" And the team said to me, "Look, we don't know where these folks are going to live yet. You," they said to me, "should be advocating at the state level to get money so that we can house these people. Because when you place people in a job, the first thing you do is you figure out where they're going to live, because you want them in a job that's near their house, a job they can drive to or walk to or take a bus to." And so what we said to the state, we had a meeting yesterday with the Executive Office of Health and Human Services. And we said to one of the officials there, "Look, step one in resettlement work is finding housing. It's the hardest part of the work. It's the hardest thing to do, but that's where the investment needs to be right now. And if you want to get people out of the shelter system, if you want to avoid a lawsuit in a few weeks, you've got to work hard at getting people out, finding them a place to live, subsidizing their apartment for a while, and giving them the support to get a job."
Last word to you, Gabriella Emmanuel. What will you be watching for next, just briefly?
Yes, a couple things. I think whether or not the state or the federal government sets up large congregate settings, kind of think lines of cots for those on the wait list, is an open question in my mind. I'll also be interested to see whether there is any distinction between migrants or long-term Massachusetts residents. It sounds like that's not the plan, but there's a lot of worry about it. And finally, whether the flow of newly arrived migrants coming here changes with this threshold when it's implemented.
All right, WBUR Senior Health and Science Reporter Gabriella Emmanuel and Jeffrey Thielman, the president of the International Institute of New England. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you so much. Great to be on the show.
Thank you.